the approaching new storm in the Caribbean, and vulnerable infrastructure. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio, coming to you from the studios of the BBC in London this week. Residents from the Caribbean islands through coastal Florida and beyond are bracing for the arrival of Hurricane Irma, one of the most powerful hurricanes ever seen in the Western Atlantic. The storm's expected to hit Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands this afternoon, bringing heavy rains and storm surges up to perhaps 11 feet. We've been focusing on Puerto Rico in recent months because of the debt crisis there, but Marketplace's Sabri Benishore is tracking a key infrastructure story. Sabri, Puerto Rico's electric grid is especially vulnerable?
Yeah, we are not talking outages of a week or two. We're talking months, 4 to 6 month outages for some folks. That's what the head of Puerto Rico's big public electric utility, PREPA, told local radio. And this doesn't just affect, you know, air conditioning, which actually in a place like Puerto Rico is very important. We're talking about the water supply, too. A year ago, there was an island-wide blackout because of a fire that shut down filtration plants and pumping stations, and tens of thousands of people were without water service for several days.
So as you say, Puerto Ricans are routinely suffering from electrical outages. What is the context?
The electric utility most recently declared bankruptcy back in July. It has $9 billion in debt. It's hobbled along through a decade of recession in Puerto Rico, basically supplying electricity for free to many towns in government projects for decades. It hasn't operated like a successful business, and service has suffered. Service interruptions are 4 to 5 times more frequent than in the U.S. mainland. The utility's boss, Ramos Rodriguez, said there's an employee shortage. A lot of workers have retired recently or left for the U.S. mainland. The point is that this is a utility that has trouble keeping the power on when there's not a hurricane. And now we have a storm the likes of which Puerto Rico hasn't seen in 100 years, according to the National Weather Service.
Marketplace's Sabri Benishore, thank you. Now to Fed, fiscal, and foul weather and the U.S. economy. I can do all the stories I want about the Federal Reserve, higher interest rates, about potential U.S. government shutdowns and collisions with the federal limit on borrowing, the cost of disaster recovery. One economist here in Europe thinks the U.S. economy has gone organic. Adolfo Laurenti is global economist for J. Safra Saracen in Switzerland.
Unlike expectation earlier this year for a big policy boost, we are achieving good growth rates in a way that is organic. Consumers still look good. We have seen a pickup in investment and corporate spending. The weak dollar is helping with export, and the inventories cycle seems to be stabilizing, and probably the stocking will add in the second half of the year. So all in all, we are quite optimistic about the second half of 2017.
Economist Adolfo Laurenti in Zurich, thank you. Would you rather have fresh air and a pastoral view, or traffic jams, concrete, and fast broadband? My newest Marketplace colleague, BBC host and correspondent Anu Anand, has been meeting with retirees in rural England who are souping up their own internet.
I'm going today.
On a wet day in northern England, three men are digging. How old are you?
64.
I'm 65.
63.
Shouldn't you be, I don't know, playing golf, sitting by the fire, reading a book? This is hard work.
This is more fun.
They're volunteers for Barn, broadband for the rural north. It's a cooperative financed and owned by its customers. Big telecom companies refuse to lay fiber optic cable to each rural home, arguing it's too expensive. So in 2012, villagers here decided to build their own network. Chris Condor is a former hairdresser who led the effort.
We started on March the 31st with the Day of the Spades, where all the villagers turned up with spades. But then it started to rain, and 2012 is the wettest year on record. Things started to grind to a halt because the last thing they wanted to do was dig broadband in.
Barn now provides broadband fast enough to download a movie in a few seconds to about 3,000 homes and employs 25 people. In the US, there is a persistent gap in rural broadband connectivity. Aaron Smith, Associate Director of the Pew Research Foundation, says low speeds have a major economic impact.
40% of rural adults do not have access to broadband connection of 25 megabits per second or higher. For urban adults, that share is just 2%. Obviously, many businesses need to be able to sell their products online. So in many ways, this is a crucial resource.
A number of small private companies are filling this connectivity gap. But if you can't find one and need inspiration to dig your own network, listen to John Hamlet, a video producer in Northern England, who dug his connection all summer.
If I finished a video project and I wanted to upload it, you'd have to leave it running overnight. You'd go to the computer the next day and find it failed. So it could take days to upload something. Whereas as soon as I got onto Barn, you know, it just took a few minutes.
So it's a win-win situation. Rural customers get top-speed broadband, and long-term Barn shareholders are currently reaping a 5% return. In Cumbria, England, I'm the BBC's Anu Anand for Marketplace.
And one of the pleasures of driving some electric cars, besides all the initial kick when you hit the quote-unquote gas, is their aplomb in slow traffic. With some, you can drive around with one pedal only. Push down to speed up, ease off to slow, no swapping foot to foot. Well, Nissan has just unveiled the new all-electric Nissan Leaf, which goes a bit further. Start, drive, and stop all with one pedal, like some amped-up go-kart. There's a brake pedal if you insist. The new Leaf can go about 150 miles on a charge. The Chevy Bolt goes 230. The new Leaf comes out in the U.S. next year. Out of London this week, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.